about what's going on financially, because even though it may not be as exciting as some of the other things, believe me, it's going to have a profound impact on everybody listening to this program. In fact, everybody in our country. In fact, everybody in the entire world. Certainly, we saw that the Stephen Rhodes, formerly the chief economic advisor and guru at Morgan Stanley, has come up and basically said that we're in for a terrible recession. Jimmy Rogers, who used to work with George Soros, thinks that we're in for a terrible recession, if not a depression. And certainly, many of the major gurus, the people you can really depend upon, people like Harry Schultz and people of that caliber, and of course our current guest this afternoon, Bob Chapman, are all agreeing that we are going to go into not simply a recession, but eventually probably into a depression, a contraction of the entire manufacturing and financial system. Well, with that as a background, Bob, bring us up to date on what's the latest good news.
Well, I don't know how good it is, but we'll bring you the news and we'll bring you the truth. And you're right about Stephen Roach and Jimmy Rogers and Harry Schultz and others, a handful only, unfortunately. But if everybody understood what was going on, then it wouldn't be important. It wouldn't be different. And we would be just part of a herd. And when the herd arrives, that's the time for us to think about selling.
Right.
But you're getting the same talk and reaction from Washington and Wall Street and banking and insurance and corporate America that you've been getting. And unfortunately, it's not truthful. And that's not unusual. I think particularly this week on all the programs that I'm on, I want to enunciate something that's very important, and it's a little story about why so many of our major institutions are bankrupt. And the only reason they haven't gone under is that the Federal Reserve is funding them. Now, we're talking about the banks, the investment banks, the insurers, and it's not only the United States, but it's in Canada, in England, in Europe as well. And it is my belief that the money that was used to interdict the market in Europe, the market being the banks in Europe, by the European Central Bank, which was over $1 trillion, came from our Federal Reserve. That's what I believe. I think they had a hand in supplying money to the British government for the bailout of Northern Rock. We know now that secretly the European Central Bank's bank has kept the Spanish banks from going under, because they have a problem similar to what we have in the United States, and that is they have a real estate bubble problem. And yes, they were using the same kind of loans and CDOs as what is used in America or has been. And also they were used in England and Ireland as well, not as much in Ireland, but in England, not as much as Spain either.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Hold the thought. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and and prevents it from absorbing a harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Do you need more than just the constant news of impending tyranny? Yes, this is Elizabeth Border, back with the Divided Kingdom, the hour that analyzes spiritual and cultural issues, too. Lou Blanchard and I are delighted, thanks in large part to past listeners' lobbying efforts. Now, to be on the great Genesis Communications Network, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Central, formidable Alex Jones says, this is the network often imitated, but never duplicated. Lou and I made the conscious decision to move to GCN because of its classy lineup and leadership. We invite you to hear our program, one we pray will strengthen and bless you. Indeed, trouble is part of the story, but the fellowship of faith surpasses it. Tune in at 6 p.m. Central with the Divided Kingdom.
This is George Whitehurst Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our one-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Tourme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course our guest is Bob Chapman. We're talking about really what's going on in the world, and it's Bob's contention that the Fed is providing money for England so they could bail out Northern Rock, which had a run on the bank. And believe me, when you have a run on a bank, you've got to either cover that or that bank's going to go down. The people have their money deposited there. They can't get the money out. The word gets out. You have panic. And but, of course, this is true, really, with most of the banks in Europe. And if it were ever really understood what's going on, or the significance of what's going on, why you'd have a run on most of the banks. And, of course, really, here in the United States, we supposedly have the FDIC, which is guarantees your deposits up to $100,000. But what happens if we start getting runs on the banks here, and the FDIC comes in, but they don't have enough money to cover all of those bank deposits? Has anybody thought about that, Bob?
Fed would do is print the money and give it to them.
And exactly it. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah, and
they're
this is exactly what's happening in Europe, and it's also happening in the United States. And these banks are giving the Federal Reserve collateral, and that collateral is usually in the form of U.S. Treasuries or agencies. An agency bond is Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the Federal Home Loan Bank, Sallie Mae, those kinds of instruments. But they only make up about half of the collateralizing. And the other half is made up by collateralized debt obligations, SIVs, which are structured investment vehicles, ABS, which is asset-backed securities. And they all involve loans in real estate and or vehicles, motorcycles, pools, mobile homes, things like that.
How about credit cards? Aren't there some of these bonds that are based upon credit card debts?
Those would be ABS.
Okay, asset-backed securities. Okay,
yeah, asset-backed securities. And I shouldn't have left that out because it's very important, but... I don't know why. I don't have credit cards, so I don't think of them.
Well, of course.
But anyway, except when I report on them. But anyway, going back to the problems. So companies like Citigroup and the Merrill Lynch and the Bear Stearns, they all needed assistance. And so they got some investments from sovereign trust funds in places like Dubai and the Emirates and Singapore, etc. Those were very visual, and we all saw that. And maybe some of us didn't like it, but what these banks and investment banks had done was not only package mortgages, but they leveraged them in their own accounts, besides being a seller of them to others. And in the process, they got themselves in trouble because they had never figured on Meredith Whitney. She is a bank analyst at Oppenheimer & Company, and she exposed what was going on last July. In fact, I reported on it as soon as she talked about it, and it didn't get through to Wall Street for maybe 4 or 5 days, and they finally realized what she was saying. And that is that companies like Citigroup really had some serious problems. And so, in the meantime, in order to continue to function, the Federal Reserve has first opened up their discount window, and that's the place where banks go to borrow money. The problem was, they said, if the Fed and the banks said, is that we don't want to be seen going to that window, because if we are, someone will think there's something wrong with our bank. Well, the only reason you go to that window is if you get some tourist problems. And so what they have done is they have created auctions every 2 weeks where they lend the banks $30 billion each time. That's $60 billion. And that does not count what is being lent to the Europeans and the people in England, people in Canada. That doesn't show up anyway because they're not reporting it. And so the Fed normally will sell paper for 1 day or 10 days or 20 days, and then it matures. The collateral is returned, and the interest is paid along with the principal. It's done through bookkeeping entries, of course. But what the Fed's been doing is rolling the paper. In other words, Citigroup says, well, we've got $18 billion due today, and can we have it for another 30 days at the same rate? And the Fed said, well, of course you can. And they're doing that with all the entities that are in trouble. Now, in time, what will happen as the problem enlarges is that the amount of money that is borrowed through this auction system, which incidentally is secret, and they don't tell you who is in this system doing the buying or renting of this money. Anyway, in time, what will happen is that the Fed will have to monetize the collateral, and the banks will get to keep the money, but they'll have to still pay the interest. And the difference between what the collateral is worth after it's sold and the amount of money that they received. Well, hypothetically, they receive $1 billion. They put up $1 billion worth of treasuries and CDOs. In time, the Fed sells them into the market. And let's say that they get $400 million. the bank then owes $600 million plus interest to the Fed. The Fed doesn't care about that. The reason why is the Fed has just taken a loss. They don't have to force Citigroup or anybody else to pay the money. They might just collect the interest. They might do nothing. And the Fed doesn't care about taking losses on the collateral that's been given to them. And incidentally, they're taking in the collateral at face value that is CDOs and things like that, when in fact they're worth 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 cents on the dollar, depending upon what's inside the bond. And you have to unwrap the bond to find out what's in there. Supposedly they know, but they don't. And the Fed doesn't mind that. It doesn't mind taking the loss, and the reason why is it didn't cost them anything, because the Fed creates money out of thin air.
That's a pretty good
that's
game. I wish you and I could
all
do that.
Have it.
Right.
And that's what's going on, and that's what's keeping our financial system from collapsing.
But of course, isn't that highly inflationary?
And they will do that until they can't do it anymore. And what will cause them not to do it anymore is that finally people will stop buying or renting the paper. And what they'll do is curtail their borrowing of money. And in that process, deflation will begin. And inflation will turn the tables in their entirety. But in the meantime, it is extraordinarily inflationary. So this year, we are counting on a minimum of 15% inflation. And we could very well be seeing much higher numbers. And I think people should get prepared for it. Inflation right now is 11.6% based upon 1980 figures that we use before they Mickey Moused all the numbers. And so that's really where it's at. And if you want to deduct, say, 4% for the increase in wages and 2.5% for productivity, that's 6.5. And if you take 6 from 11, you're an automatic 5% loser right off the bat just by having dollars with 11.6% inflation. So you can see how it's eating you up. And it comes in the form of the loaf of bread is no longer $2.50. It's $2.65, and it goes on and on and on as prices continue to go higher because of what they're doing. The idea for the Fed is to bail out Wall Street and the banking system, the insurers, and corporate America. They could care one hoot about the American citizen. And that's what this is all about. And it's happened in history over and over and over and over.
Well, I think that the smart money, of course, is getting out of bonds, is getting out of anything tied to the American dollar. But, of course, the average American doesn't understand. They don't hear you. They don't hear Radio Liberty or the other programs that have the same warning. And as a result, I think the vast majority of the American people are going to become impoverished before this whole system is over.
Well, that impoverished is a very soft word. It's going to be much more difficult than that.
All right.
In fact, they're already impoverished.
Right. Well, our guest, of course, is Bob Chapman. And we're talking about what's happening financially. We'll be back in just a moment right here at Genesis.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Ted Anderson from Midas, February 4th, 2008. Gold, 901 80-ounce gold coins can be purchased for $928, $457.10 for half to $28.55 for quarter. That's $928, $457.10 and $228.55. For years, Ron Paul has taken the position to uphold constitutional rights. He's been branded by special interest groups as doctrinal, refusing to bend his values. I can only imagine the pressure applied by Congress as he stands alone for these principles. He has given up a medical career for this. Ron Paul is running for president. The ideas of strong currency, ending the war, defending the Constitution, and protecting civil liberties are catching on. As a thank you, GCNLive.com, Midas Resources, and I would like to send you a free copy of the Ron Paul Family Cookbook. Call 800-686-2237 for your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237. I hope his values are touching your heart as deep as they are mine. That's 800-686-2237. Thanks again for supporting Ron Paul.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarship, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn the secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. 1126, or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Certainly, we see the foreclosures continuing all across America as more and more people are losing their homes, and of course we see the shutdown of the home building business, and they simply are not building homes. A lot of people have lost their jobs in construction, and even a lot of the Mexicans have had to go back to Mexico because they didn't have those good paying jobs here in the United States. But it simply isn't just simply the home building. The financial industry is having real problems, so they're laying off large numbers of people now. Bob, they tell us that the manufacturing really is doing pretty good. Manufacturing orders are up. Do you think that's really true?
It is, but you know, it all depends where you look. And they're down from last month, and they'll start to ebb off. And my question is, how can that happen when you have an increase in prices paid from approximately 66 to 80, which means that the price they're paying for goods at a wholesale and manufacturing level are climbing. And at the same time, we're looking at a 4.3% reduction in automobile or just overall vehicle manufacturing. It is impossible and improbable, implausible. And so those figures can't be correct.
All right, fine. Of course, didn't we lose something like 17,000 jobs in December?
Well, the real figure for January, when they do the birth-death numbers, is 355,000. There's all sorts of things going on that distort these figures. And in the International Forecaster, we point all this out. That's why you need it. And then you'll really know what's going on out there. We give you the real figures on employment and the CPI and the PPI and many things that you just don't get elsewhere. Like, you know, I just got a piece of research in from Challenger, Gray and Christmas that just came in this afternoon. U.S. companies planned layoffs increased 69% in January from December, and they're up 19% from January of 2007. And that was some 75,000 jobs compared with 44,400 in December. And, you know, these figures are published, but you don't see any of the media talk about them, because they're not positive figures, so they just don't report them, and that's called lying by omission. And it goes on all the time. And so it's, you know, what you're getting through the media, through Wall Street, through your government, is not necessarily the truth. And more often than not, it's planned lies. And that's just the way it is.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is they've certainly been hitting gold, certainly been hitting silver. Platinum seems to be going through the roof, but gold and silver are down pretty considerably. Silver is down, 75 cents, pretty well, at least 50 cents from where it was, about 717. And gold is down from from $930 an ounce to, well, it was down in the 800, 895 this morning. I think it was closed at 904, 905 an ounce. But obviously this is all manipulated because the dollar is falling. People throughout the world are turning to gold in other countries. And you look over in Dubai, they were getting $930 an ounce there. But here in the United States, they set the price about $905. So this is all a manifestation of manipulation, isn't it?
It absolutely is. When you have platinum and palladium going up, and gold and silver are not going up, there's something wrong. Now, I say that because the reason that platinum and palladium have been going up is that there has been an electric shortage in South Africa, which produces 80% of the platinum and palladium in the world, and about 22% of the gold. Now, if platinum and palladium are going to go up on news that the mines have been shut down for about a week, that are going to have to operate on 80% of the electricity that they had before, one would think that gold would go up in value along with platinum and palladium. And that has not happened, which to me is proof positive of manipulation. We know the manipulation's going on. This just gives you proof positive, so to speak. And this is so typical of what's going on today.
Okay, you hold that thought, Bob. We'll be back here in just a moment.
What our government is doing.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural wound care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores, also called bed sores. The Healing Formula was developed by a home caregiver with over 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including organic aloe vera gel and 35% hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, decreasing pain, while promoting healing. The Healing Formula has also proved effective in other areas, such as abrasions, cuts, burns, and rashes. There are over 6,000 peer-published documents on the ingredients in this healing bed sore formula, with not one adverse reaction reported when used properly. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you are not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, nurses, and anyone with a non-healing wound. Please visit our website at healingformula.com or call 800-357-2944. That's 800-357-2944.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Bob Chapman, the international forecaster. And before we go on, Bob, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get a free copy of the International Forecaster and perhaps even subscribe to it.
Well, the International Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. On Wednesday and Saturday, we send via email our issues out. They usually run around 30 pages each, and then we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month as well. Our address on the internet is theinternationalforecaster.com, theinternationalforecaster.com. You can get a free copy for an introductory copy going there. And for those who have questions, our email address is international_forecaster@yahoo.com. international_forecaster@yahoo.com. And if you'd like to call toll free to get a free introductory copy, you can call 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. So that's Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. It's fascinating. We get it twice a week by email And suddenly I read it through from beginning to end. All sorts of fascinating information. Well, it sounds like the big boys, the Goldman Sachs, the Japanese over there, still have an awful lot of shorts in on gold and on silver. Is that right? Or are they beginning to cut back?
Well, the short positions are at record levels and are close to it. And it's surprising they continue to hold there, which is highly unusual for commercial specials on the COMEX, but that is what they have been doing. And when you have a large short position like that, it's bullish because somewhere along the way they have to cover their short, which means they were betting something was going to go down. And in order to close their position out, they have to buy it back. And so when they buy it back, it lends support to the instrument. In this case, we're talking about gold. And so there's a very large short position there. And I think it's going to keep gold from making any kind of any large correction. And I am very bullish on gold. I think it will continue from time to time throughout the year to continue to go up. And I think people will do very well with gold and silver bullion and coins, particularly numismatics, and gold and silver shares. And in this kind of a market, usually you start to see the shares really start to perk up, and I think in the next run they're going to take a very big move. They've moved, but not in a big way, and they will in the future.
All right, fine. And Chris, gold and silver shares. You talk about Agnico Eagle. You talk about Silver Standard, and what about Hecla? Things like that.
Yeah, Hecla's a good company. Coeur d'Alene, Gold Corp. I think Newmont's too big. Barrick. They've been instrumental in suppressing gold prices since 1988. I won't recommend it. Their board is and has always been full of Illuminous CFR members, elitists of one form or another. And so we don't want to do business with those people.
Although very often they will do very, very well, and they'll manipulate the market, and then eventually just make out like bandits, which of course is what they are. Well, you know, as we look and see what's going on today, certainly it looks like this housing market is going to just have to continue contracting. The price of homes is going to have to continue falling till we get back to some sort of relationship between a value and price.
Right, and the lenders continue to tighten up. The 30-year mortgage rate is usually set based upon the 10-year Treasury note. It's usually 1% higher, and right now it's 1.5% higher, and that is unusual. It makes it more difficult for people to borrow. They're asking for 20% down. They really don't want to do any adjustable rate mortgages if they can help it. And people are having their lines of credit with their credit cards cut back. I don't know whether it's just because they're being careful, being conservative, but it may be they don't have the liquidity too. I do know that in certain cities, some banks are having a terrible problem with the stealing of ATM cards and numbers and that sort of thing, and so that is one of the reasons why groups like Citibank have cut back, particularly in those areas. And so but there is a diminution in the availability of credit at the wrong possible time. and house prices do and have been continuing to go down, and I believe they will be, unless there's government intervention, for the next year and a half, you're going to see the adjustable rate mortgages, which are subprime and Alta, you probably have a close to 50% rate of failure, foreclosure, and mixed in there, you're going to have pick and pays, which are usually much larger loans that were taken out by people who can just pay interest on their loan. They can pay other factors of it, but they usually don't. And once you get below the equity that you have in your house, problems arise. You say to yourself, should I walk away? And then on top of that, you have the pick and pay loans resetting. They usually for a 5-year term. And that 5 years starts to come up next year. And so the subprimes and the Alta loans are going to be followed by pick and pays. And some of them are coming up now. And so unless the United States government or somebody steps in, then it's going to get considerably worse. And I know that Congress is batting ideas around. You know, the question is, who's going to pay for it? I mean, the states don't want to. The federal government doesn't want to. And quite frankly, the lenders can't. They'll go out of business. They'll go bankrupt. So it's a pretty tough situation.
Well, it's very interesting.
And, you know, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and the Federal Home Loan Bank are not the answer. It's just, you know, putting it off into the future. In fact, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, as far as I'm concerned, are on the verge of bankruptcy. And so it's not a good situation.
Well, you know, it's really very interesting when the derivative problem came up about 2 weeks ago when ACA and AMPAC and then certainly MBIA, these three of the largest derivative writers in our country, when, of course, they were having problems, the government got the various lenders, major lenders, Merrill Lynch and, you know, Citigroup and the others together and said, now, why don't you put up enough money to finance these derivative, you know, writers? Because if they go down, you go down too. Because, and so at least, why don't you put up the money to pay the interest so that these companies don't go into default? Well, two of them are already in default. I don't know what MBIA is doing, but, you know, the banks aren't about to put up the money. They don't have the money to put up, do they?
No, they don't. Now, the answer to that is that what I expect is going to happen is the Federal Reserve, which creates money out of thin air, will lend the money to the banks. The banks, in turn, will invest the money in the mortgage companies. And the banks and the mortgage companies will be on the hook, hopefully, to get the Fed paid back later. But the problem with that is that it's not a lasting solution. And it's just floating the economy on more paper. It's the same concept that's being used right now to keep, I don't know how many banks in Europe, the United States, Canada, and England from failing. What are we going to do? Have the Fed continue to give money out to every corporation in the world, every insurer in the world? I mean, the whole thing is madness. And it can't work. And the final analysis, they got to go under, all of them. And that's where we're headed. They're going to prolong it. They might prolong it 2 or 3 years unless some event happens that forces the issue. Some untoward event. We had that happen with Meredith Whitney. She came out and said, hey, Citigroup is in serious trouble, and there's a whole bunch of others that are too. And everybody finally listened. And that could happen again in some other perspective. And so, and that's how things usually cause crashes. And I'm not saying that will happen, but will happen for sure is that the money that they're essentially giving away to keep the system going is going to implode.
Well, apparently, the figure I've heard is that the American corporations have written about $140 trillion in derivatives, and I guess the rest of the derivatives must be have been written elsewhere. Is that a legitimate figure?
That's for swaps only.
Oh, I see.
And swaps are when you bet that that you want to protect yourself. You buy insurance. So if the company that you have bonds or stock in goes bankrupt, somebody pays you. Okay, so you're insuring your position. The total figure is somewhere in the vicinity of $600 trillion.
Well, no, there's a lot
trillion
of
trillion is with a T, like in Tom. That's
or,
how
or
much
treason,
they get out there.
Or
this
treason
whole thing
or something
is
like that.
Absolute madness.
Well, now, of course, where a lot of these written overseas or most of these written here in the United States?
Both. The biggest derivative writers in the United States are J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, Wachovia, and on and on. But they make up about 85%, those four.
Well, of course, the thing is that when these things turn bad, in other words, when the companies certainly don't pay their loans, when mortgage holders don't pay their mortgages, when the credit card holders don't pay their credit off, when the people who bought cars don't pay off the loan on their cars, then, of course, these derivative companies are going to have to put up the money that people who bought the insurance policies expect to be paid out. Trouble is there isn't that amount of money around any place.
No. They wrote naked derivatives is what they did. They had no collateralization. And it's now common knowledge that they wrote and they're running naked. And it's the banks. The banks are the, basically the writers. We've had hedge funds write them, brokerage firms, insurance companies. But the big writers are the big banks. And that's how they kept the system afloat for the last 8 or 10 years. You know, I've been writing about derivatives since 1992 and what a scam they were. Nobody wanted to listen.
Well, you know, I think that it's only a matter of time before this whole house of cards begins to come down. Because you've got these people, for instance, ACA, had, I think, about $450 million in assets, and had $69 billion that insured. Well, you can't insure, you know, $69 billion with $450 million. And certainly, I think ACA or maybe it's MBIA. You know, they had a little over $1 billion, but they had insured hundreds of, $400 or $500 billion of bonds that they'd pay off, and they don't have anywhere enough money, and certainly only a fraction of the money that would have to be paid if these continue to go into default. It looks like it's only a matter of time before they do.
Well, you know, you say to yourself, how does something like this happen? And it happens because the system is controlled by the same group of people. And they've been doing it over and over and over again, from century to century. And it's nothing new. That's how we know about it, because we've studied it. And there's only a small group of people in the United States and throughout the world who fully understand what these people have done and they are doing now. And they will continue to do if we let them get away with it. It knows no political party. These are a group of people who get together for money and power. And they've been doing it for 1,000 years.
Well, I'm sure that's true, and I'm sure that one of these days the American people are going to wake up, you know, where they are no longer free men in a free country. They are simply serfs in a captive land. And this will happen.
They already are, but they don't know it yet.
Well, it'll happen, certainly. It'll get a lot worse unless you and I and a few others are out there who have the knowledge can begin to wake up the American people. And, of course, behind
well,
this whole thing...
Well, that's what we're
thing,
trying to do, Stan.
I know you are. And, of course, behind this, and I'm sure that Bob will agree with me, behind all of this are satanic forces There really are satanic organizations out there. There really are people who worship Satan, and they're very well rewarded, at least in this life. Would you agree?
Yeah, they are.
And, of course, this is really a spiritual battle that's being fought on a financial battlefield, and our job is to let people understand how it works, and at least, hopefully, many of our listeners will survive. How well we'll survive, I don't know, but at least they'll be able to survive somewhat. Bob, let's get your telephone number, your webpage out there one more time before we have to let you go.
Okay, the webpage is theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, FORECASTER.com. And that telephone toll-free is 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Well, God bless you. We'll look forward to talking to you this evening. Bob will be our guest at 8 o'clock on Radio Liberty at RadioLiberty.com. Bye-bye. God bless.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40, and by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms, and they do not go away. Take Super Beta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Super Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, dial 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Dial 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course, ordinarily at this time would tell you that you need to get the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, but they're out of print, and we can't even get any. We sold 27 of them this weekend, and that cleaned us out. But we still have the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and The Fiat Money Inflation in France. And we still have my pamphlet on the financial meltdown and my pamphlet on the history of money, which will give you an excellent background of how the government, how the Federal Reserve System, a privately owned central bank, makes money out of nothing and then has the audacity to charge you interest on it. Well, then, of course, we do hope that you want to get my talk on the financial tsunami, because it's even more applicable today as we talk about the perfect financial storm that's descending upon our country, and, of course, derivatives and the carry trade and the impact of oil and the impact of the aging population and the baby boomers retiring, and certainly the fall of the value of our currency. And, of course, we're shipping our manufacturing office overseas, the globalization that is actually encouraging them to bring in people who come in here and work and undercut American laborers. And then, of course, with our manufacturing base gone, destroying the very foundation of America. Understand, this is not an accident. It's all been planned. My talk, Financial Tsunami, and the syllabus that goes with that, we recommend this so that you begin to understand these terms, and you can use them glibly like Bob Chapman does. Only Bob really understands what this is all about, and about what the CDOs, the collateralized debt obligations, are, and certainly what the other items that we talk about, the ABSs, asset-backed securities, SIVs, that's the structured investment vehicles. Each one of these is important, and of course they all are part of this effort to control our society and impoverish our people. And of course these debt obligations are collapsing all across the world today. So this is not simply an isolated incident. Certainly, if other countries are collecting precious metals, Russia's buying gold, China's buying gold, and America, of course, does not have that much gold left. If any, we don't know how much they have. Certainly, I don't think that the Treasury has any. I think our gold has been turned over to the Federal Reserve System. And when they tell you we have gold in Fort Knox, I think they're just being as honest as they are about the inflation figures, but they tell us it's really only maybe 2 or maybe at the most 3%. And if you believe that, why, you deserve what's coming down the line. So remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, if you haven't laid in your supply of emergency food, you need to, because the prices are going through the roof. And a lot of these special foods, right now we know that milk and dairy products are extremely hard for the ready reserve foods that we work with to get. And sometimes we're having some delays on getting the food supplies out. You need to have a good supply of food. You need to have a water purifier, a Berkey of some sort. You need to have barrels to put the water in and pumps to get the water out with, and all sorts of emergency things. And if you'd like to get our emergency catalog, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's one catalog. That's the emergency food catalog, but got a lot of other emergency things in it. Then we, of course, have the health products. And, of course, these are the things that Barbara and I take. And as you know, I'm going to be 79 this month, but I'm in pretty good shape, and I really believe it's because we're taking all of these items, and it keeps your mind clear, keeps your body functioning. And so we've just simply listed all the things, and we have a contract with one of the largest manufacturers in the country. We cannot tell you who they are, but I will tell you that we've used their products for years, and fortunately they put our label, the RL labor, that's the Radio Liberty label, onto their products. And, they're available through Radio Liberty. If you'd like a health product catalog, we'll get one of those for you. And then we can give you our regular catalog. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and I'm bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views and, well, the views of our guest. And this afternoon is Deanna Spingola, and, of course, it's going to be the views of our callers as well. But we'll hold off taking calls for the time being. Deanna, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, it's always a pleasure. And Deanna writes, of course, regular articles that appear in newswithviews.com. News with Views. And I was really taken with her last article that went into, of course, how suddenly they are using wars and things of that sort to bring about this new world order, this one world government with a one world religion and the one world leader. You pick up the story there and tell me, really, could you give some examples of what they're doing and how this all seems to work?
Sure. The last article that I had at News with Views is called The Power Elite Playbook and Killing the Competitors. And basically, communism was created and it is controlled by the power elite, people who have all the money. Back in 1917, in November, there was a revolution in Russia. It was the Bolshevik Revolution. And it was not a function of the peasants. The peasants had nothing whatsoever to do with it. Actually, the Tsar had abdicated the throne about 7 months before the revolution, and there was a provisional government set up. And that provisional government, they wanted to pattern the government of Russia after the Republic, after the United States Republic. And we are a republic, we're not a democracy. And Lenin and Trotsky were not even in the country at the time. In fact, they had to be, Trotsky and Lenin was in Switzerland. And
Trotsky was in the United States, wasn't he?
Right, he was in New York. He was writing for newspaper in New York. And so they had to be quickly taken back to Russia so that they could participate in this revolution that they were supposed to have started. And basically it was funded by people like the Rockefellers and the Warburgs and people who were concerned about competition. Because at that point in time, Russia was had a lot and lots of resources. They had lots and lots of people. They were also forming a bond with Germany. And that would have been a superpower block. And at the same point in time, Germany was also trying to create a railroad from Baghdad, or from Germany down to Baghdad, because oil had become a big issue. You need oil for many things, particularly to fight wars, and for illumination. Oil had been discovered in this country about 1865 or so in Pennsylvania, and so communism wasn't really something that was perpetuated by the poverty-stricken people. It was a hoax, and it was perpetrated by big money, and it was to control the common man, to advance world tyranny. And it was actually a system, an economic system, that people could not grow with. It really was debilitating. People could not, you know, people liked to be remunerated for their work, for their labor. And in communism, it just doesn't work that way. And so they saddled Russia with an economic system that wouldn't work, and then...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
Sure.
Here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Deanna Spingola, and she had written an article in the newswithviews.com, and you can go to www.newswithviews.com and pull it down. It's a very important article, because she was talking about the origin of the communist revolution, and she pointed out that it was simply financed by Americans who did not want competition, who wanted to establish a system that really wouldn't work. Now, had Russia at that time formed an alliance with Germany, they would have become a superpower competitive with the United States. And, of course, the plan has always been to have the United States, the strongest nation in the world, and to be able to, use our financial and military power to bring about the world government. And so it was many of the American corporations and elitists and financial institutions and even people working at the Federal Reserve System financed communism, undercut the anti-communists in Russia, so that you could install a very inefficient, tyrannical system. And, of course, there is no communism in Russia. That is one of the greatest frauds in the world. What you have in is an elitist system where everybody else is suppressed, and that's exactly the program that they wanted here in America, but not initially. They needed to allow a certain amount of freedom so we would be productive and so we would be a vibrant society, and so eventually America would become the most wealthy nation in the world once that was accomplished, and once, of course, they'd been able to corner the finances of the world. Then, of course, they'd no longer need the United States, and tragically that's what's happening today. But Deanna certainly goes right back to the origins of communism back in 1917, the fact that Trotsky wasn't in Russia. He was here in the United States. He was sent to Russia to lead the counter-revolution, the October or November revolution of 1917. But this, of course, is the things that they do not teach you in school today. The idea that communism has been helped and financed from its inception by people here in the United States is so foreign, and yet anybody who's ever studied this or watches the paper today to see how today we're always giving one or another gift to communist China. Communist China is being built up. Well, we'll be back here in just a moment. Go ahead, pick up the story there, Deanna.
Okay, we did actually supply them with a lot of technology. In fact, right from the beginning, we supplied technology to them so that the financiers could control their economy. They saddled them with communism, then gave them just enough technology to be able to control them. And after the...
Hold that just a moment. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Deanna, go right ahead. Deanna has simply been talking about how, of course, we brought communism to Russia, but we can't tell the American people that. They're supposedly the wicked enemy. We fight wars with them, but have you ever noticed there are always no-win wars? So you go right ahead.
And in 1919, after the First World War was over, then the industrial nations begin to carve up the nations for not for peace purposes, but for the competing firms of Standard Oil, Shell, British Petroleum, and because whoever controls and owns the oil will own the world. And this is what it's all about, is control of resources, control of oil, control of water, and you have control of people. And so in order to do that, the power elite, the people who have all the money, the people who have own the Federal Reserve, which isn't federal, want to install people in office who will accommodate their needs. And so they look for certain characteristics in their potential political pawns. They like people who are very opportunistic, dishonorable, manipulative, ruthless, that have no conscience, and are totally indifferent to the consequences of their actions. And they must be willing to subvert the established laws, such as our Constitution. And they must also be willing to turn their countries into tyrannical police states using such things as Gestapo-style enforcement agencies. And this is a terrible thing. Most people wouldn't do this. Most people are law-abiding, but you have other people who want power And so they will play along with the power elite. They will play along with the banksters. And they have the speech writers to provide them with their rhetoric. And it's unfortunate that the voters, the people who think that they are voting their candidates into office, really find rhetoric very appealing, and they listen to the words, and they believe what the candidates tell them, even if, and they believe it because they want to. They don't want to look beneath. They don't want to go back and look at history and figure out, well, how come we keep voting these same kinds of people in and things seem to get so bad?
And
nothing
really
ever changes.
And something, a beautiful example of that would be that during the first Bush administration, why George Bush refused to take any action against the brutal communist regime in China, even after Tiananmen Square. And Bill Clinton, when he ran for office, was extremely critical of George Bush for, you know, his refusal to take a principled and moral stand against communist China. Well, then when Bill Clinton came in, why, he did everything he could to help communist China, gave
exactly.
them our top secret things. And then, of course, he got into Kosovo and Bosnia as part of a nation-building program. But then when George W. Bush was running for president to succeed Bill Clinton, he was very, very critical of this idea of nation building, and says it's not up to us to be going overseas and telling other people how to run their countries. And except when he got in, the first thing he did, you know, was get into a war with Afghanistan to catch Osama bin Laden, and then of course did everything he could to keep from catching him and to let him escape. And then he kept fighting in Afghanistan after Osama bin Laden was gone, no reason to still be there. And then of course we had to go to war with Iraq to rebuild that nation. And so people say one thing, and until the American people understand that politicians say what you want to hear.
Oh, absolutely.
Go right ahead, Deanna.
And Saddam Hussein had nothing whatsoever to do with 9/11, which was the false flag that took us into Iraq, and the false flag that they used. And Iraq, of course, had nothing whatsoever to do with 9/11. Osama bin Laden had nothing whatsoever to do with Saddam Hussein, but they had to make a case. They had to make a case against this terrible monster, Saddam Hussein, who we actually had installed in power to accommodate the banksters and the oil companies' needs back in the 50s and 60s.
And I think that's so important. People have forgotten that Saddam Hussein worked for the CIA. Books written 15 years ago that talk about how he worked for the CIA. And, of course, we brought him to power in 79. We financed him all during the 1980s. And we gave him the chemical and biological material. So he built his weapons worth. And then we say what a terrible guy was that he built these terrible weapons. And he was a terrible guy. And he was an evil man.
Well,
what about
the
people who helped him and financed him?
Exactly. That's the kind of people we use. That's just who we need to do our dirty work.
Right.
But there was something that he wanted to do that was against what the oil companies wanted him to do. He wanted to expand the oil production. Now, Iraq has the third largest oil reserves on the planet. Accounts for about 10% of the world total. And it's also reckoned to have the largest unexplored potential oil, particularly in the western desert. It is estimated to have between 100 and 200 billion barrels of further possible yet undiscovered reserves. And they have 112 billion proven barrels. And it also has the second largest reserve in OPEC after Saudi Arabia. But he didn't want to work with the oil companies. He wanted to expand the oil production for the benefit of Iraq. And so we went in. The first Gulf War was a fight over that oil. And in 1973, remember that OPEC met together. And they met in the Bilderbergers got together, and they decided that they were going to raise the prices. And had he expanded the oil production, the price of oil would have gone down, and the oil companies would have all this excess oil, and they wouldn't have been making all the profits. And so that is the reason for the war. And the war, the first Gulf War, failed to pressure him into compliance. And so they sanctioned him. And these sanctions killed hundreds of thousands of mostly children. The sanctions also banned oil exportation, which maintained the OPEC oil prices and quotas. And Hussein was still obstinate. And so, after 12 years of sanctions, then it was decided, okay, another invasion is needed. Sanctions didn't work. We're going to have to go in. We're going to have to bomb it. Well, 9/11, they had to somehow connect 9/11 to Saddam Hussein, or to at least say, oh my gosh, you know, he's got weapons of mass destruction. Even though the UN examiners, the UN people who went in to look for those weapons, said back in 95, no, that's all been destroyed. He doesn't have any. But our government lied to us, and they said, yes, he's got them. We've got to go in. We've got to get them. And so we went in March of 03. And the reason that we went in was to take control of that oil and to stop the production. And so now we're occupying Iraq. And the oil ministry is the only facility under constant U.S. military protection. We've destroyed the libraries. We've destroyed museums. We've destroyed antiquities. We've destroyed their cultural heritage. But we have not destroyed the oil ministry, because that is where all of the records of all the oil fields are.
But have you noticed how since we went in there, and the first thing that happened was we cut down production, and we blamed it on Saddam Hussein. And do you know what happened? Why, the price of oil went up. And Exxon last year made $44 billion. Chevron made $38 or $39 billion. Shell Oil made $36 billion. They profited because of our invasion.
Right.
Why, we have actually created an oil shortage. And, of course, we can't tell the American people that. We can't tell them that it was our policy that got the price of gasoline up to over $3 a gallon. And certainly I think it's going to go to $6 or $9 or $10 a gallon. You've got to create shortages. What better way than to go in there and then blame, of course, the terrorists and the guerrillas,
sure,
and Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda for blowing up the pipelines. But if we hadn't blown up the pipelines, how would have you created the shortages? How would Exxon have made all that money?
Right.
And people just can't put it together, can they?
No. And the big oil profits increased at about the same time that the oil industry increased contributions to Bush's reelection campaign by about $40 million. But that's the way it works. Big business pays for representation, and that's what they get. Politicians do not represent the people. They represent big business.
And, of course, anybody who doubts that this whole thing had to do with oil, there's a book called The Price of Loyalty by Paul O'Neill, who was the Secretary of the Treasury, and we quote that in my newsletters. And Paul O'Neill, Secretary of the Treasury, in his book talks about going to meetings in February of 2001. This is, what, 6 or 7 months before the 9/11 attack. And they're already talking, Cheney and Rumsfeld, about how we're going to be able to get the American people to go along with a preemptive strike on Iraq. And Paul O'Neill's sitting there shaking his head. Why do they want to attack Iraq now? This is 6 or 7 months before the September 11th attack. And then how they're going to divide up the oil. It was all laid out ahead of time. That the book is called The Price of Loyalty. If you want to get the exact page, you can get to go up in my newsletter, find me on my website, and pull down Paul O'Neill's book, The Price of Loyalty. And we have a whole newsletter on that. And you can get the pages from the book, or I'll even send them to you if you want them. You must understand, it was all decided long ago, but how are we going to get the American people to go along with an attack on Iraq? There's going to have to be some sort of a catastrophic event, or the American people would never send their boys overseas again to fight in another no-win war. Well, go right ahead there, Deanna.
Okay. The major oil companies are represented by an International Tax and Investment Center. And that's a lobby group. It was established in 1993. And their board of directors hosts people from Shell, BP, ConocoPhillips, ExxonMobil, and Chevron Texaco. And they developed an 84-page plan for Iraq and its oil in 2004. And you can see it. It's quite extensive, 84 pages. You know, it was something that they'd been working on, excuse me, for some time. Now, they have this whole plan developed, and it was adopted by the State Department. And it entails suppressing oil production. And so it was it's always been the plan since the first Gulf War on through this Gulf War. And, of course, you had to use the democracy card in order to get our young people, our young men and women, to give up their lives, give up their jobs, give up their college, and go and fight in this oil war. And that's what it is. And so the expansion program in Iraq is now dead, along with over 1 million Iraqis. The invasion and occupation has been very effective in accomplishing big oil's financial goals. And Iraq actually produced more oil under the restrictive oil for food program than it has done in 03, 04, or 05. And as you mentioned, the oil companies' profits have gone up incredibly high. In 05, it was $89 billion just for a single year. And, of course, they're accruing those profits because of those gas prices at the pump. And this has always been the way that it has worked. The power elite puppets, the politicians, have always given us little clues. That even as far back as 1950. In 1950, in the February New York Times, it said, Indochina, and we can compare the Vietnam War to the war in Iraq right now, but Indochina is a prize worth a large gamble. In the north are exportable tin, tungsten, manganese, coal, lumber, rice, rubber, tea, pepper, and hides. It amounted to about $300 million a year. And again, in Southeast Asia supplied 90% of the world's crude rubber, 60% of its tin, 80% of its copra and coconut oil. It had sizable quantities of sugar, tea, coffee, tobacco, sisal, fruit, spices, natural resins, gums, iron ore, and petroleum. And there was a problem, though. Standard Oil was very competitive, and it did not have control of the oil in Southeast Asia. And so there was an interest there. And in 1953, Eisenhower revealed reasons for U.S. interest. He said, okay, so what we need to do is vote for $400 million to help the war, because remember that time we were involved in Korea.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Deanna. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Deanna was simply then comparing how well, Iraq worked out as far as, driving the price of oil up. Had we not gone in, why, of course, they would have continued producing oil. And but once we went in there, of course, then the guerrillas were told us, the guerrillas were over there blowing up the oil lines and blowing up the other facilities. And of course, but isn't it interesting that we created an artificial shortage? Right, we created the artificial shortage of oil, and the profits went up for the oil companies tremendously. And of course, the oil, OPEC, Saudi Arabia, totally dependent on the United States. If we told them to drop the price of oil tomorrow, they would say, yes, sir, how far do you want it down? But we're told, oh, no, the Saudis just are going to continue limiting the supply of oil, and the profits are just going to zoom up. for Exxon and Standard Oil and the Conoco and certainly and Shell Oil. And incidentally, Exxon and Chevron are both Rockefeller companies. The BP Petroleum is controlled in large part by the British Royal Family. Royal Dutch Shell, why do they call it Royal Dutch? Because it's controlled in large part by the Royal Dutch Family. And, of course, all this gets into the ruling families. They have always worked behind the scenes. And our ruling family, of course, is the Rockefellers. But we can't let the American people know that. They've got to believe that we're over there in Iraq because somebody made a mistake on weapons of mass destruction. Oh, shucks, we got the wrong intelligence. But who was fired? Nobody was fired. Okay. I mean, who was demoted? Who was sent to prison for putting in false information? Nobody. And a million people are dead. Oh, shucks. Isn't that too bad?
Right. And they're going to stay there until they win. And what does that mean?
We're never going to win because we're not allowed to. And anybody who really believes we're trying to win this war needs to read my December newsletter, December 2007, the speech given by the general, Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, who actually commanded the coalition forces in Iraq from June of 2003 to June of 2004. And what does he say? Why we're not allowed to win the war. We're not given the material to win the war with. The only thing we can hope is not to be defeated. And really, it's a touching letter. You'll weep when you read it. And you understand that all the boys who've died there have died for nothing because this is another no-win war, like the war in Vietnam was a no-win war, the war in Korea was a no-win war, the invasion of the Bay of Pigs was a no-win invasion, never intended to win. Go right ahead.
The only people that win in the war are the banksters. And France was waging a war against Vietnam in 1953. It actually started in 1946. It went until 1954.
And, of course, we were financing Ho Chi Minh at that time. Anybody who doubts that, we have the documentation on it from Colonel Fletcher Prouty in our four-tape set on the Kennedy assassination. Go ahead, Deanna.
We were also financing France,
right.
The French.
Well, we financed both sides of most of the war.
Absolutely. And we were doing it. Basically, it was a war that we were fighting using the French. And what happened is that we simply wanted to get rid of the French. When the French left, we wanted to go in, and we did. We went in. We had people on the ground over there as early as 54. But the reason that we wanted to go in there is because we wanted certain things from the Indonesian territory. And what we were basically interested in was the oil. Standard Oil, because Standard Oil wanted to have control of the Indonesian oil resources. And unfortunately, Shell Oil, or Royal Dutch Petroleum, as it was known then, had control of those resources. Now, in the 1920s, Herbert Hoover, who was CFR, he was also a Bilderberger, was a very astute geologist, and he later became the 31st U.S. president, and he produced an exhaustive world resource survey that included a very interesting insider secret, that one of the world's largest potential oil fields ran along the coast of the South China Sea right off French Indochina, known as Vietnam. So there was all this oil right off the coast.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest, of course, is Deanna Spingola, and we're talking about really why we were in Vietnam. And Deanna feels that certainly the oil was a major thing and that there was a great deal of oil over there. We had our troops on the ground, first of all. We financed Ho Chi Minh, but then we financed the French. And then, of course, when the French were trapped at Dien Bien Phu and wanted us to come to their aid, we didn't send an airstrike that would have broken the siege of Dien Bien Phu because we had to have the French defeated so we could go into a no-win war. And you have to understand, we never went over there to win. And that's what the average individual doesn't understand. We'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, Deanna, you go right ahead.
Well, during World War II, we got together quite a lot of weaponry, and it was on an island. And we were going to use that. Our foot soldiers were going to do a land invasion into Japan. Well, that didn't happen because we decided, the U.S. government decided, that it would go in and bomb the only two Christian cities in the whole of Japan, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And so they didn't need all the weapons that would have outfitted all these people who were going to go in with the land invasion. And so we had all these weapons, and Lawrence S. Rockefeller, who is David's brother, was aware of the land, the oil survey that Herbert Hoover took, and he was also serving in the Navy, and he attained the rank of a lieutenant commander. And at the end of the World War II, he was the vice governor under General Douglas MacArthur in Japan. And this was a very strategic military position. And it was Lawrence Rockefeller, who arranged to sell this huge stash of weapons from Okinawa to Ho Chi Minh. Now, he had been an ally. Ho Chi Minh had been an ally against the Japanese during World War II. He was a U.S. ally.
Yeah, but he was also a communist.
That's what we said he was. He was.
Right.
He had gone to Russia. He'd been trained in Russia for a few weeks. But he basically wanted to pattern a government after the United States. And so he felt that if he worked with the United States and was their ally, that we would come in and be supportive of his plans for his country. And so anyway, Rockefeller arranged with Ho Chi Minh to give him all of these weapons for $1 and his goodwill. And later on, Rockefeller felt, well, he will remember this when it's time for the Standard Oil to come in, or Mobil Oil to come in, and try and do exploration for that oil that's out there in the South China Sea, right off the coast. And so that was the plan, and that was why we provided him with all those weapons to use during his fight against the French. So anyway, Herbert Hoover, and we'll go back to
hold that thought here in okay. just a moment. We'll be right back with Deanna. Well, Deanna is simply pointing out that at the end of the Second World War, the United States had massive military supplies, which we'd accumulated in the South Pacific for the potential invasion of Japan. And when the war ended, of course, we didn't need them. So, of course, a large number of those weapons were actually given to Ho Chi Minh, who is, of course, leading the effort in Vietnam to oppose the return of French colonialism. So Ho Chi Minh gets massive American military supplies, which he uses against the French to drive them out of their country, out of his country, so the American can come in there in 54 and try to do the same thing the French were doing. But you go right ahead.
Right, and the French had been there for almost 100 years. And when they left, and when the war was over in 1954, Ho Chi Minh thought, oh my goodness, we're free. We can have our own country. Everything is going to be wonderful. But that wasn't the way that it was going to be. And basically, we had our men over there, and we installed a puppet government in South Vietnam, and we basically took control. And then we split the country down about the 17th parallel, and it became North Vietnam and South Vietnam. Ho Chi Minh was in the north, and our puppet government was in the south. And we controlled it, and we controlled that puppet government until that puppet government decided that they didn't want to go along with us. And so in November of 1963, there were a couple of assassinations. And one was Diem, the puppet governor there, and his brother. And, of course, the other one was President Kennedy. and who wanted to de-escalate the war. He didn't want to continue to send our soldiers over there.
He wanted to pull the American troops out of
Vietnam.
He
wanted to pull them out.
And that was against the plan. The plan was they were going to get us involved in a war over there, come hell or high water, and they did. And they got rid of President Kennedy. And then they started this massive no-win war. 10 million American soldiers rotated in and out of Vietnam. We could have won at any time in two months. We were not allowed to. How do I know that? Why, I personally interviewed William H. Sullivan, the American ambassador to Laos, and four-star Marine General Lewis Wall. Both of them told me the same thing. We could have won at any time we wanted to. We never went there to win. It was a no-win war.
Exactly. We went there to destabilize the economy, to destabilize the people, to gain control. And until and basically what Ho Chi Minh was trying to do was to free the South Vietnamese from the puppet government that we had installed, and all we did was just mess up a country.
Well, of course, but remember, we were financing the Russians and providing them with massive amounts of money and weapons, and the Russians were financing the North Vietnamese, were funding the Viet Cong, and were killing our boys, so we were funding both sides of that war.
Exactly.
But the American people can't understand that. They've never heard it, and that's covered and documented in a little pamphlet we have entitled Communist Capitalist Alliance, the Communist Capitalist Alliance, or in the book Best Enemies Money Could Buy, or the DVD we have, or video we have by that same title, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. Go right ahead.
Right. Our boys were being killed by the weapons, by our own weapons. Well, anyway, after the war, after the troops left and North Vietnam fell in April of 1975, then there was a U.S. embargo set up against Vietnam, because we classified them as an enemy, and we also blocked them because Hanoi did not account for the missing American servicemen.
But of course, our government always denied that there were any missing American servicemen. They, to this very day, they deny that anybody was left behind, and yet we left over, well, probably close to 1,000 in Vietnam and 1,000 in Laos.
Right.
And of course, thanks to John McCain and John Kerry, who were on a Senate investigation in the early 1990s, they did everything they could to sabotage that investigation.
Right.
And John McCain did everything he could to be sure that the American people would never know about the other soldiers and military personnel who were abandoned in Vietnam. And how he can sleep with this himself, I don't know, after he betrayed those men.
And that's what he did. And his father and his grandfather were both high up military men. And he could have come home. He stayed in Vietnam, got preferential treatment, because he knew that if he came home, that it would destroy his political career that he had already planned for himself. And he is considered by some and claims to be a hero, where he is not even close to being a hero. He's a traitor.
We have an article that actually came out of Newsweek magazine. We'll be glad to provide a copy of it for anyone. Where, of course, he's asked by the Newsweek reporter, why do you want to become the president? This was, I guess, 4 years ago when he ran.
Really?
And his reply was, because Angela Lansbury turned over the Queen of Diamonds. And, of course, that's, if you've ever seen the film, the Manchurian Candidate, of course, that was the trigger. Angela Lansbury turned over the Queen of Diamonds. Why would John McCain make that sort of a remark? You know, when asked why he wants to be the president. We have the article. Isn't it strange that it's never quoted today? Go right ahead.
Really? Now, is that on your website?
No, it's not. It's we have that in our files. I clipped it out at the time. I thought, this looks like such an important piece of information. Why would John McCain talk about the film, The Manchurian Candidate? Well,
right.
I don't know what it means. It's just an interesting little side bit.
Well, anyway, Vietnam also embargoed, sanctioned. They could not have access to any international lending agencies like the World Bank or the International Monetary Fund. They were just basically blocked. And they were supposedly imposed because they didn't account for the missing American servicemen. However, we did not make an accounting to Vietnam for the 8 million tons of bombs, which is four times the amount used by the U.S. in all of World War II. We left 10 million bomb craters. We didn't make an accounting for Operation Linebacker 1 or 2. We didn't make an accounting for the 3.5 million landmines and the 300,000 tons of unexploded ordnance or bombs. We didn't make an accounting for the 40,000 people killed since 1975 by those landmines and those buried bombs. We didn't make an accounting for the Agent Orange or the cluster bomb that also affected our own servicemen. Agent Orange has caused so many diseases in the people that served in Vietnam.
And, of course, in the Vietnamese people as well. Because the government lied for years about, they said that there's nothing wrong with dioxin. Well, go up on the Internet and read what's wrong with dioxin. They knew it was a deadly, as far as human beings, it's an excellent herbicide, but it's deadly as far as people.
Absolutely.
Why would we do that? Why would we spray the Vietnamese civilians with that? And why would we expose our own men to that? And literally, tens of thousands of Americans came down ill. They were deprived of their benefits. Certainly, it wasn't until Admiral Zumwalt's son got, a cancer, lymphoma or leukemia from it, that Admiral Zumwalt, who knew exactly what was going on, finally came forward and led the fight to expose the dangers of Agent Orange. And of course, isn't it amazing? You never get involved until it's somebody in your family who comes down with an unnecessary cancer because of these policies, and the government knew about it, and they withheld treatment and veterans' benefits from literally tens of thousands of American veterans who were damaged by Agent Orange. And some of them were actually on the planes where they were loading it on the aircraft carriers where they were loading it onto the plane. Go right ahead.
And we have the same kind of situation with depleted uranium in Iraq.
Yeah, right.
And it's a terrible thing. And the government knows about this. We also dumped 400,000 tons of napalm on Vietnamese villages. We destroyed the infrastructure. These people are suffering from birth defects, even to this day. Catastrophic illnesses resulting from these toxic chemicals. You can't drop toxic chemicals on people and not expect some sort of results or reaction. In 1971, we dropped 800,000 tons of bombs on Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam. Then there was the My Lai, that situation. And, there were 3 million Vietnamese people who died during that war. And most of these people had no clue about what communism even was.
And I think it's so important that we talk about that. You see, all we talk about is the 58,000 Americans who died, and we should be concerned about them. What about the 3 million Vietnamese, 1 million South Vietnamese, 2 million North Vietnamese that were killed as a direct result of a war that we went into without any evidence we ever wanted to win it? If you read the rules of engagement, you realize that we were not allowed to win that war any more than we were allowed to win the Korean War, any more than we were allowed to win at the Bay of Pigs, any more than we were being allowed to win in Iraq today. And if you haven't read my December 2007 newsletter, read it and weep.
Terrible.
Because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose, and there is organized evil working today at the highest level of our government. Go right ahead.
It surely is. And there was another false flag that preempted this. And there was also this philosophy that if we did not halt communism, that somehow it would take over that whole area. But Vietnam was not a threat to us. It was an illegal war. It was not declared by Congress as the Constitution allows or mandates. We also had the figure for Cambodia, and this is in addition to Vietnam, an estimated 2 million people because there were secret bombings under Nixon and Kissinger, who was a Rockefeller agent. A secret bombing in Cambodia began in March of 1969. And they used about 260,000 tons of bombs there.
And, of course, they lied to the American people about it.
Exactly.
And they lied, and they lied, and President Nixon lied, and Henry Kissinger lied, and only later did it come out. And, of course, that destabilized Cambodia and led to the communist takeover and of course, the murder of all the Cambodians under the communist regime that we helped to bring to power.
Right, and supported.
Sure.
Secret missions over Laos began in late 1964. Bombs were dropped there, 230,000 tons. And bombs were dropped over Laos over a period of 8.5 years, and it exceeded 2 million tons. Now, that's a lot of ammunition. My heavens, this is unconscionable that Americans would allow this, would not question this. I don't know why Americans right now are not questioning all of the deaths in Iraq and why we are listening to candidates who get up and say, we're going to continue the war and we might be there for 30 years, we might be there for longer. Why they are not asking, well, why are we there?
They
simply believe what the corporate radio and the corporate media tell them.
Well, they tell us, Deanna, that if we were to pull out, there'd be chaos. But, of course, the reason is chaos because of the policies that we brought there. Paul Bremer from the Council on Foreign Relations, the chief envoy there who outranked any of our generals, went against the advice of the generals and disbanded the Iraqi army and disbanded the Iraqi police force and disbanded the Iraqi civil service and closed down the Iraqi factories and closed the schools and closed the hospitals, most of them, and then created the chaos. People had no jobs. You know, they were resentful. We had to do the police work. Our troops are not trained for that. Because, of course, if we'd maintained stability there, how could we have justified staying on?
Exactly.
You have to create the chaos if you're going to justify staying. And we're doing the same thing today. We have more mercenaries over there than we have American troops. You're never hearing about that. Those mercenaries are allowed to commit any crime they want to, and they're not answerable to the American military. They're not answerable to the Iraqis. And the Iraqis, some of them think that's wrong to have people there who can just go around shooting up Iraqis and they're never held responsible.
They aren't. And they make a lot more money, they're better equipped, and they are mercenaries.
Right.
And they are friends with our current administration.
Right.
So we have all these people who all the Vietnamese people who were killed. And I compare this so much to what is going on in Iraq, and I don't know why other people aren't looking at both and saying, gosh, you know, there's such a correlation here.
Because it's a matter of patriotism. After all, we have to back our boys. Well, if you care about our boys, why would you send them into a no-win war? I mean, that's
right.
The question, and nobody wants to ask why. Of course, nothing has ever been done about Paul Bremer. Why nothing has ever been done about the people who gave us the faulty military intelligence that Saddam had all those weapons of mass destruction. And,
right.
And of course, got Colin Powell to go before the United Nations.
And lie.
And of course, Colin Powell maybe just honestly believed what he was told. And
right.
In fact, he said that was the greatest blemish on his entire reputation.
That's right. And there's a movie. It's called No End in Sight. And it talks about this whole situation with Paul Bremer and talks about all the chaos. And when you get rid of the structure that has been there, the police, and all the security that has been there, then you're going to have chaos. You're going to have people looting. You're going to have people, desperate people, who have no jobs.
And why would Paul Bremer, one of the smartest people in America, have done that unless he wanted to create chaos? To justify our staying, and to justify the killing,
exactly.
And to justify, you know, this lowering of the oil production, which has raised, of course, massively the profits of the oil companies, you know, a direct result of our intervention. And most people think we went in for the oil. Of course, we went in, of course, not to increase oil production, but to decrease it.
Right.
Deanna, go right ahead.
Right. So we sanctioned Vietnam the same as we sanctioned Iraq, and those sanctions were eventually lifted in 1995. And the Vietnam government finally, after all those years, was reunited. The North and the South were reunited. Then you had a population of people who were ready to work at anything they could. They were still very, very poor. They were the poorest country in that area, and yet they lived in a resource-rich environment.
All right, you hold on to that thought. We'll be back. Our guest has been Deanna Spignola, and let me suggest her article on newswithviews.com. All right, go right ahead. Do you have a website, Deanna?
Yes, spingola.com.
How do you spell that for our listeners?
S as in Sam, P as in Paul, I-N-G-O-L-A.
Spingola, like S-P-I-N and then Gola.
Right.
Okay, go right ahead.
Okay, so we had a great division in this country. We had a lot of anti-war people and pro-war people. It not only destroyed a country in Southeast Asia, but it also cost us economically. It amounted to about $500 billion that was paid to the government-friendly, banker-sponsored military-industrial complex. It destabilized the American economy. The conflict sapped the U.S. gold reserves. It was not about military victory. It was about allowing oil companies and multinational businesses to go in there. In fact, as soon as the sanctions were lifted, they were giving out Pepsi Cola in the streets of Hanoi. And the multinational companies could go in after the sanctions were lifted by Clinton, after the Vietnamese people, after the Vietnamese government accepted the World Trade Organization. They were one of the first to join after it was created. And so, you know, the World Trade Organization is basically to regulate trade, not free trade. They don't want free trade. They want to regulate everything between countries. And so multinational businesses are over there, the same as they are in China, messing up the environment because other countries don't have the regulations that we do in this country. And when I was in China this past summer, it was amazing. In Beijing, my goodness, you could hardly breathe. The smog was so bad. And it's because they don't have the environmental restrictions there.
Well, of course, don't worry, though. When we get the Kyoto Protocol through Hawaii, well, it won't make a bit of difference because it doesn't affect the largest polluter in the world, which is communist China. It just affects the United States. It has probably the cleanest air in the whole world. So,
exactly.
We live in a world gone mad, and sometimes I think that there's only a few of us are sane. In other words, why? But unfortunately, most people think we're crazy. Deanna, you've done a great job. You're a great article. Thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's always
a
pleasure.
Thank you so much.
And thank you. And our guest has been Deanna Spingola, and I hope you've enjoyed what she's had to say. Because, of course, we go from war to war to war. Bye-bye.
Bye.
God bless.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and certainly I hope you listened to what Deanna had to say. And, of course, it's very, very good appraisal of what happened with Vietnam. There's, of course, one other thing, and that is that it was really a major diversion as far as America. And how do we know that? Well, of course, because that's what the establishment of the secret government says. George McBundy, a member of Skull and Bones, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, national security advisor to both President Kennedy and President Johnson, and instrumental getting us into the war, writing in Foreign Affairs magazine in January of 1967 in an article entitled The End of Either Or, said basically that we're involved in a social revolution at home. And we're not going to be able to continue this social revolution unless we have a diversion. So basically, and I quote, and I'm doing this from memory, of course, it would be an act of folly for any true liberal to say that we had a choice between guns and butter, between persistence in Vietnam and full budgetary support for our domestic programs. For exactly the opposite is the case. Anyone who believes in the great new departures in health and education and welfare, who believes in true equality, should not say we ought to get out of Vietnam. Because, of course, if we were to pull out of Vietnam, there'd be tremendous reaction to our domestic programs. And so Vietnam was the diversion. And as we watched the weeping widows and weeping mothers and the flag-draped coffins come home, we lost our freedom here. The government, the Supreme Court, took God and prayer out of our schools, allowed the centralization of all power in Washington, D.C., found a woman had a right to an abortion, changed our immigration laws, brought in the Great Society programs, which were unconstitutional. Programs were designed eventually to bankrupt America, but to make everybody dependent upon the government. And that's what Vietnam was about. According to the elite, it was a diversion. Just as what's going on in Iraq today is a great diversion, as we lose our freedom here, because, of course, we have to protect ourselves from the wicked Osama bin Laden, who's hiding in a cave in Pakistan with a laptop computer, plotting how he is going to take away our freedom. And step by step, our own government takes away our freedom. But maybe that's why, of course, if you go back and you study the real history of Osama bin Laden, he worked very closely with the CIA all during the 1980s. The book, The Devil's Game, will give you a lot of information. You need to get it, Chris. We carry that book, The Devil's Game. We also have a three pamphlet set, Foreknowledge 911, and a pamphlet called The True Story of 911. Of course, we hope that many of you will want to get my material on the Communist-Capitalist Alliance. It's just a little pamphlet. A book, The Best Enemy Money Could Buy, or, of course, the a video or DVD by that title, my interviews with Professor Sutton, going into how we financed the North Vietnamese all during the Vietnam War, just like we're financing the Taliban in Afghanistan today, as we finance the Pakistani government that finances the Taliban that's killing our boys over there. And then, of course, with the book Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, very important, the funding of the communist movement. And, of course, it was funded largely by the United States and the United States banks, and, of course, by our friends over in Great Britain. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will want to get the other material that's available through Radio Liberty, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, the DVD on the Forbidden Secret, because unless you understand the spiritual forces behind this, none of this makes sense. But there really are secret societies like Skull and Bones, where the people take an oath to Lucifer. And if you doubt that, go to the website www.williamhkennedy.com. Williamhkennedy.com. You'll see actually video pictures that were shot at, taken at great danger to the people who took them, or you'll actually see one of the Skull and Bones people dressed up as Lucifer, and everybody else, of course, kneeling before him, kissing a human skull. There, of course, in the Skull and Bones a tomb, they have all sorts of swastikas and other replications of the occult. But remember, Hitler established the swastika as his symbol long after it was established by Skull and Bones. Number 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
With news on the Information Radio Network, I'm Greg Moore. President Bush hailing the $3 trillion budget he sent to Congress today. More from correspondent Mark Smith.
Summarizing the blueprint for reporters, the president said it keeps spending in check, but funds key priorities, starting with defense and homeland security.